All that illuminates and planets is in this material world. Give up reflected light cannot be reached by those who are not merciful to other living energies. Only persons who are constantly engaged in the welfare activities for other living energies can reach the Vaikuntha planet's Kapha. Here is a description of two aspects of Vaikuntha planet. The first is, in the Vaikuntha sky there is a need of the sun and moon. This is confirmed by the Upanishad as well as Bhagavad Gita. Na tat vasayate soyo na nashanku na pavakaha. In the spiritual world, Vaikuntha Lokas are themselves illuminated. There is therefore no need of sun, moon, or electric light. It is in fact the illumination of Vaikuntha Lokas which is reflected in the material sky. Only by its reflection are the suns in the material universe illuminated. After the illumination of the sun, all stars and moons are illuminated. In other words, all the luminaries in the material sky borrow illumination from Vaikuntha Loka. From this material world, however, people can be transferred to the Vaikuntha Loka if they incessantly engage in welfare activities for all living entities. Such incessant welfare activities can really be performed only in Krishna consciousness. There is no philanthropic work within this material world that Krishna consciousness can engage a person 24 hours a day. The Krishna conscious person, being always engaged in planning how to take all of suffering humanity back home, back to Godhead, even if one is successful in reclaiming, is not successful in reclaiming all the fallen souls back to Godhead still, because he is Krishna conscious, his path to Vaikuntha is open. He personally becomes qualified to enter the Vaikuntha Lokas, and if anyone follows such a devotee, he also enters the Vaikuntha Loka. Others who engage in envious activities are known as karmis. Karmis are envious of one another. Simply for sense gratification, they can kill thousands of innocent animals. Jnanis are not as simple as karmis, but they do not try to reclaim others back to Godhead. They perform austerities for their own liberation. Yogis are also engaged in self-aggrandizement and trying to attain the power. But devotees, Vaishnavas, who are servants of the Lord, come forward in the actual field of work from Krishna consciousness to reclaim fallen souls. Only Krishna conscious persons are eligible to enter into the spiritual world. This clearly stated in this verse and is confirmed in Bhagavad Gita, where the Lord says that there is no one dear to him than he who preaches the gospel of Bhagavad Gita to the world.
Let me ask how much time we have up to 9 o'clock or 10 minutes past 9? Because we have to.
Almost an hour.
What is the
question?
Symptom that we do something at the expense of others. The word of ignorance is a destruction of others. The word of passion by exploiting others. At the strength of other people, at the strength of others. Using other people, exploiting other people, at the expense of other people, I may do so many great things. But that's the more passion. More of goodness is, I think, the most perfect way described by Krishna in Bhagavad Gita. Yoga Shimam Mahamyam, I maintain what you have, and I add what is missing. The Lord is not lording us over, although He is the Lord. He doesn't lord us over. He is not in the mode of passion. He doesn't establish Himself at the expense of others. He maintains our yoga, yoga, kshemam, our devotional service, vaham, yaham, whatever is missing. He's like a servant, always, to the devotee. He maintains our spiritual life, and if there's something missing, He will add this on at the time of death, or whenever He sees that it is the right hour, namely an hour that we will not take advantage, that we will not bite the hand that feeds us, that is free for us, ego. But in the material world, things are very different. I was very shocked to learn the other day in a lecture, none by Shivaram Swami, Torina Shivaram Swami, rather. He pointed out that the parents of Raghunath Das Goswami, they were pious people, because they would not eat before, they would not rest before all the Brahmins from Navadvip all the way down to Calcutta were fed. They would make sure that every Brahmin had food. So they were not selfish people. They were definitely pious, contributing. However, when it came to donating their son, really Raghunath, they showed that they were maintaining attachments. It was like, it's one of the offenses of the holy name, to maintain attachments by attending the holy name of Lord. So the amazing statement of Lord Chaitanya shocked me to the depth of my heart was when Raghunath inquired about his parents. Lord Chaitanya said, one day I have worms in the stool. And that was indeed a very shocking statement, that here are people who have been donating for the benefit of the Brahmins from Calcutta all the way from Navadvip. This is Jesus, and that's 2 hours drive. There must be hundreds of Brahmins there. And still they're warm in the stool because they're maintaining attachments. And I thought, well, this is our situation in the material world. In the material world, and we can include ourselves quite generously, here in the lineup of materialists, we are maintaining attachments, and everybody in the material world tries to become a big worm, basically speaking. And in university and in schools, and left and right, we are learning how to be very successful born. By science, by mathematics, by chemistry, by physics. That's what we learn. Become big. Become a huge worm and learn which side of the stool is more palatable. And how to get there. How to eat the better part. This is not how we can go back home, back to Godhead. That is not possible. If you maintain this mentality of the material world, to exploit and to control, to enjoy and to control others. The real culture is expressed beautifully by Srila Prabhupada in example. Of two Brahmanas standing at the Ganga River and about to take a bath. And while in the material context people would call a rival first, of course, and you next. Their quarrel is just the other side. No, you go first. You, none of you orders. No. You are ordered. Maybe I'm ordered, but you are more spiritually. And in this way, accordingly, nobody wants to be first. He wants to. Everybody wants to see that the other person is first. And Prabhupada said, that's culture. That is the beauty of the Vedic culture. It is the opposite of materialistic, you don't call it culture, it's an insult to the word culture, to the material mess. Material mess is me first. In the spiritual world, Vedic culture, the spiritual culture is the you first. The you first society, the international society, as conceived by Srila Prabhupada, is the you first society, not me. I mean, my old mother, may she rest in peace, I suppose she's running around now as a young boy, as a young girl, hopefully in the Hare Krishna movement. She deserves it. She used to tell me when I was a little child, yes, God, then God, and then God. Three times God. Asma, first God, and again God. Then the others, again the others, and again the others. And then maybe in the very, very end, she said, yourself. In the very end. So this was quite in line with the rest of her life. She was an amazing servant to our family and to my father. And I owe my mother a lot, actually, coming to think about it. As far as religiosity, she was very religious. She used to go to church all the time. She used to actually practice what she was preaching. She used to practice, and therefore it was powerful. Imagine, I would tell you, let's go here, that's my preaching, and I walk that way. How can you follow such an example? How can you follow it? The Lord is over there, that's where the truth is, and I go to the other side. You may listen to what I say, because what I say is correct. The truth is over there. But you cannot follow me, because I do not practice what I preach. You see the point? Prabhupada people could follow. And because he was practicing what he was preaching, he was standing in line, imagine, in 2nd Avenue at the shower rooms. He was standing in line till finally somebody said, but Srila Prabhupada, you are our guru, shouldn't you go first? And he would say, well, that's a fact. That is a fact. And then he would, Prabhupada, I saw it, yes, or Srila Prabhupada, somebody made him this impossible coat. It was totally out of it. But because it was given to, it was Krishna Prasad. It was given to him. He would wear it, no matter what people would think. I've seen Prabhupada with 3 wristwatches on his arm. Because somebody gave him another wristwatch. So he would put it on, and then after some time would give it to somebody else. He was such an example of a person who is very eager to take the Prasad. If it's Krishna, if it comes to you, then it is Krishna Prasad. And if you take it, it's like a flower. When you take a flower, you rip it out of the ground, it's dead. It's dead. You see? So Prabhupada, he taught us what Krishna said in Bhagavad Gita, all activities depend on you. Always work under my protection. In such devotional service, you become conscious of me. So we become conscious when we work according to that parameter that we are hearing what Krishna gives us, and we take what Krishna comes to us in Krishna's own sweet way. If you act in such consciousness, then you can cross over all the obstacles of conditional life by my grace. If you do not act in such consciousness, not hearing, you will be lost. Krishna, you will be lost. So in spiritual life, it is very important that we do not fall back into that, our old ways, our old bad habits. We are, like I said in the material, everyone wants to be the first. In the New Testament, there's one sentence which is, I thought it's very profound. one person asks Jesus, how do I get into the kingdom of God? Because this is what he's talking about here in this verse. How to get to the kingdom of God? This is exactly the question. How do I get there? And the answer was, the man who, once he puts his head to the plow, looks back, he is not a fit candidate to go back to the kingdom of God. This is a very interesting thing what he says. A man who, once he puts his head to the plow, in other words, once he goes for Krishna consciousness and practices, if he looks back into his past and continues the ways of the past, like we heard today when we read the 10 offenses of the holy man, it came to me that ninth offense, that maintaining attachment while chanting the holy name of the Lord, he looks back, then he cannot achieve the kingdom of God. He may go on for some time, but actually sooner or later pride comes before the fall. Pride comes before the fall. That is the situation. And we should pray to Krishna to save us from false pride. That we have to learn to be the servant of the servant of the servant of the servant of the gopis in Vrindavan, Dasa, 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 and Dasa. And then, when Krishna sees it, that we have this quality of utter humility, of Trinada Pisani, Trinada Flora Pisani, Amanina, Manadina, Ketanya, Sada, the most intelligent verse I can think of. That to be humble in a bed of grass. Grass, even if you step on it, it will come up. But Muhammad, always stay in a humble position. More tolerant than the tree. People may eat you, people may praise you, people may laugh at you, people may spit at you. Tolerant than the tree. Devoid of all sense of false position. Ready to offer all respects unto others. Not expecting anything for oneself. In such a state of mind, one can chant the holy name of the Lord constantly. There was a sutra. What is this place called? Mangalore, south of Mangalore. What's the next place down? The Madhvacharya people have their mat, Udupi. In Udupi, if you go into the Udupi, in the Udupi temple, there is the funny thing about the temple is it's upside down. You enter the temple from the back side. The deity looks to the other side. There was a Brahmin living behind Sudra, not even a Sudra, shoemaker, a Muchi in India, a casteless person. He was sitting behind the temple and he was mending everybody's shoes. And his only desire is maybe one day I would like to see Krishna. But they wouldn't let him into the temple because he's just a scum. Practically speaking, the Brahmins were very puffed up and arrogant, and they were not going to let him in. He's a shoemaker. So he was saying, one day, Lord, you know, if I could have your darshan. And he was very humble in doing his service, always kept himself in the position of a humble servant of the whole community. So by the end, he came to his life. At one stage, there was an earthquake all of a sudden. And the wall that he was sitting behind the temple, cracked open, and the deity turned around so that he could see through the crack the deity. And so Krishna moved, literally held in heaven, so that this person could have his darshan, because he was a humble man. He was a humble man. With his humility, he melted Krishna's heart. And even Brahmanas, they became completely reformed. This is now an example of a person that a shoemaker, but his devotion is so pure, he's so free from material attachment. So just praying to Krishna, if you ever want to give me a darshan, please let it be. So the Krishna turned around. And even nowadays, there's a little window there where you can have the darshan of the deity from the outside of the temple. The deity is still standing there because nobody dared to turn the deity around after the deity decided to turn this way. But that is definitely the way to Godhead. It is in like a needle. Actually, the Prabhupada used to say, in like a needle, out like a plow. If you go in like a plow, then we will not be able to be successful. We have to be simple Vaishnavas, and we have to understand that the methodology to achieve knowledge is entirely based on surrender. People write big books on theology. You can take it from me, you can burn these books. Because they use it. People project their own ideas what Krishna is all about on the whole world. And writing, somebody may be speaking the truth like Jesus, and then some scribes and scholars, it means this and it means that, and they're covering with their projections the actual truth of the person who walked the earth and spoke simple things like, thou shalt love the Lord with all thy heart, with all thy soul, with all thy life, with all thy strength. He spoke very simple but sublime things. Because thou shalt love the Lord with all thy heart, with all thy soul, with all thy soul. That is the life in some Parodharmo. We have to about Pillar Paksaji, I took the Apatiya Tayyayama Supersedati. It means, what is the highest principle is to love God. That he spoke that. He said in this one sentence, all the Torah and all the prophets are in. In other words, that's the essence of the Torah, that thou shalt love God with all one's heart, with all one's soul, with all one's mind, with all one's strength. And also the essence of the New Testament, it is the essence of our teachings, it is the essence of, it is pure religion, Sanatana Dharma. But then people come, no, not by that sentence you will be saved. You will be saved by the saving event of the cross. So people are projecting their own ideas on the pure teachings. And then the teachings actually get lost. So, Mahajana Yena Dasa Ipanta, that we have to follow the ways of the great Mahajans who are setting the example, like this is a very good thing Prabhupada gives us here, that if anyone follows such a devotee, he enters into Vaikuntha. Like Srila Prabhupada, we could see how he was at the same time, he was very powerful, at the same time he was the most humble. In Sweden, he gave a lecture on what is the first class man, what is the second class man, what is the third class man, what is the fourth class man. And he described the Varnashram Dharma system. Am I out of time? So then some students spoke up and said, of course, you are a first class man, sitting on a high throne, surrounded by followers, in flowers, you're the first class man. And I was sitting, having to sit there, I was just hoping that Prabhupada would tell me, yeah. And I would jump out like a German shepherd into it. Strangle him. It was my blood was boiling. And you can imagine, the blood is boiling when you hear such an offender projecting his own nastiness that he would like to be the first. He was envious of Srila Prabhupada. He would like to be the first. And he was projecting this on Srila Prabhupada that he would think like that. So Prabhupada, he sat there for a moment and he shook his head. He said, no. And he was pleading. He said, no. He said, I'm not a first class man. And everybody was shocked. It was dead silence. And he said, I'm a fifth class man. And then he said, because, and I saw two big tears, spectacles on, two big tears came down his cheeks. He said, because I'm the servant of everyone. And it was so true when he said that. If he came to me so vivid, that is the truth of it. He was a servant of every single person in the room. He was living comfortably in Vrindavan. He dragged his body to America because Krishna told him, when he was at the key, he said, I don't even know what I'm supposed to do yet, but you're my Lord, you make me dance. Whatever you want me to do, make me dance like a puppet in your hand. I have no personal desires, I have no aspirations, I don't want to be this, I want to just be Dasa, 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 and Dasa. You make me dance anyway, just do with me what you want. What you want, that is what I want to do. Your desire is my desire. And Krishna's desires may be unusual. Krishna may desire that we will be beaten over 21 marketplaces by Kailas Thakur. And he took that as Krishna's arrangement as well. And he was chanting in ecstasy. Because even though my people were beating all over the street, he was not in separation of Krishna. And the same way other people have undergone great tortures. Like Prabhupada always quotes the example of Jesus, that he was crucified. That was Krishna's will too. But he didn't object. He said, no, I didn't want to be crucified. I want to go to Tel Aviv, or I want to go to the beaches and preach Krishna consciousness. You know, don't crucify me, that's not. I have so many plans. If that's in stock for him, let it be. He was ready for it, and the women on the street were crying. He said, don't cry for me. You cry for yourself and for your children, because they were in trouble. They were on the false ego platform. He was free from ego. He was just following the will of God, wherever it carries him. He was eating Krishna prasad. He was not selfish. He was not moved by false ego. He was just taking what Krishna gives him and whatever it means. It means to be crucified, or let it be. Or if it means to be glorified, let it be. If people march me into Jerusalem on an ass, on the back of an ass, in triumph, well, let it be. And if it means people scold me and treat me badly, well, that's another form of Krishna. Because Krishna comes in so many ways to us. And he can come in the form of distress too. And yumam pasyati sarvatra saram chamai pasyati tasyama pranashemi satchakina pranashemi. One who sees me everywhere and sees everything in me, not just when it comes to the outer cry, there's pasaram. And he says, well, that's pasaram. No. Also when it comes to distressful situation, that's also Krishna's arrangement. Sees everything in me. I'm never lost to him, nor is he ever lost to me. So that is what Krishna wants to see, that we actually come to him in a very humble way, present ourselves, and say, my dear Lord, like Srila Prabhupada told us in his prayers at Boston Tea, now you make me dance. Well, if you want me to sing, I will sing. If you want me to dance, I dance. If you want me to serve, I serve. If you want me to do sangitan, I will do sangitan. If you want me to write a book, I will write a book. If you want whatever you want me to do, you guide me. You guide me so that ultimately I can be saved from myself. Myself, because the worst enemy of everyone is always we ourselves. We tend to look at the enemy in somebody else, but if you look in the mirror, there he is. He who has put you into trouble for thousands of lifetimes, and who will put you into trouble for another thousands of lifetimes, unless we stop listening to our mind and start listening to Srila Prabhupada, to Bhagavad Gita, and to the pure message that is given to us by the acharyas. Thank you very much. Hare Krishna, and all of Srila Prabhupada.
Namo Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prasaya Bhutale Srimate Bhakti Vedanta Swami Chidanande Namaste Sarasvate
Vaikuntha planets, by whose illumination alone all the illuminating planets within this material world give off reflected light, cannot be reached by those who are not merciful to other living entities. Only persons who constantly engage in welfare activities for other living entities can reach the Vaikuntha planet. This verse appears in the chapter Dhruva Maharaj Goes Back to Godhead. Give you just a very brief overview. Dhruva Maharaj had not always been very mature in as far as compassion is concerned. He was once tested when his brother Uttama was attacked by a yaksha. He was in the revenge is sweet mood. Revenge is sweet, especially when it is revenge is a sweet dish, especially when it is served cold, say the Spanish people. That means after some time. It's a very brutal statement. When after Uttama Shloka, Uttama, the brother of Dhruva Maharaj, had been killed, he took revenge. He went with a small army to the kingdom of the Yakshas. This must be where Tibet is nowadays. And he slaughtered a huge amount of Yakshas who really had nothing to do with this assassination of his brother, which was done by a single person. He took this revenge out on many, many people. At that time, Swayambhuva Manu had come to him and he had told him, "The Supreme Lord, Rupa, is pleased upon you and you are merciful towards others when you treat them with tolerance, when you have peace in your heart." He told four such qualities. And then Dhruva Maharaj had a turn. He this was a purificatory experience. He was severely admonished by Swayambhuva Manu and he changed his ways. He was a good ruler, and then the time came when he was supposed to leave his body. Now at exactly this time, Nanda and Sunanda, the two persons Vishnu Dutas came to take him back to Godhead. He had learned his lesson, understood what Brita Prabhu so nicely put in this sentence, where he said, it's a you first civilization. He said, what's about my mother, Suniti? She, after all, was my Vatman Pradaksha Guru. She brought me on the way. She should go first. And then Nanda smiled at him. They were very happy. He had understood the lesson. If you want to go back home, back to Godhead, you have to think of others, not of you so much. And they said, don't worry, she's going there already. And she told, they pointed out when Suniti went back to Godhead, and she was in Vaikuntha airplane. So then they also stressed the same point. You have to be compassionate. And then at the conclusion of this verse, the conclusion of this whole chapter, Maitreya Muni again stresses this point. He says something which can become an ethical background or basis of our own endeavors on Sankirtan. He says that the self-effulgent Vaikuntha planet cannot be reached by those who are not merciful to other living entities. Then he gives the positive injunction, what we should do, only persons who constantly engage in welfare activities for other living entities can reach the Vaikuntha planet. So this is a little overview, many more things to be said. I will use this overview to give you so a little reflection on compassion. It is important, we have heard, and now after this presentation, you will hear a presentation with some boiling blood. It is not easy. Be honest. To think of others, especially when they are in a disturbing way towards you, and to still think of them, still wish good to them, still think what is in their interest, very difficult. When you are on Sankirtan and you have been accosted by people who are less than cultural, who have said wrong, offending words to you, and even to your mission, and so on, and then to go on and not say, react in a very give it back to them what they have given to you is very, very difficult. It requires a tremendous amount of let us say maturity. You have to be a ripe, or at least a mango in the process of ripening in order to do this. There's an example which we have heard very often, what it means to be compassionate. It's an illustration, really. It's not an example. There was once this person who was walking, and he came to a little pond where he saw a scorpion fighting for dear life. Scorpion was sitting on a piece of wood, and the wood was slowly sinking. So just on the bank of that same pond, there was a sadhu who tried to save the scorpion. Whenever his hand came close to the scorpion, in order to save him, the scorpion, who was so ill-behaved, took his tail and was ready to strike the hand which was saving him. So this person who passed by and saw this scene of someone trying to help, and the other trying to hurt him who helps him. He said, why don't you let this creature sink in the pond? He's hurting you. Sadhu gave this answer, which you have heard often. Just because it's his thing to sting, does this mean I should give up my duty I must be compassionate. I must help. This is my duty. As we say in German, that's the entrance billet, the entrance ticket for the spiritual so my devotee will do this. Now, as I said, this is a very difficult thing. Prabhu's to go on a life of book distribution, to still go on and to do this. Remember, this is a Sankirtan inspirational festival, but afterwards you have to commit yourself and you have to go and to distribute. When it's hard, you have to go on. This requires a solid, deep understanding of compassionate work. You can do it in the mode of passion. Some pep talks, and you can grind your teeth. Oh, I have to do it. I'm a strong man. Who is stronger, me or the commies? And so on. But this is short-lived. If you want to be propelled by spiritual principles, you must take this principle on board, compassion. And this requires transformation of the heart. We are born in the me first generation, or as Radhanath Maharaj says so humorously, we are all tuned in on a certain wavelength where we are accustomed to selectively receive everyday information. And that wavelength is the VFMH or VHMF. What is it for me? That is our wavelength, at least. I mean, humble speaker should always say that's my wavelength. But I have done my psychological investigations over the years, and I'm not so humble as I appear to the outside sometimes. We are very much tuned into this, what's in for me. So to come onto another tuning, another level, really requires a transformation of the heart, a change. I think one of our book distributors, which we saw on the movie here, he said, this is about the change of heart, this book. What is necessary for the change of heart? Let me say, it's very easy to make an external change. For instance, the frisula, the hairdress, is very simple. It takes place in 2 minutes, and you look like a Hare Krishna. Very, very easy to dress in a dhoti. You require some simple instruction, which takes 1 minute if you are bright and 5 minutes if you are a little dull. Then you know how to put on a dhoti or a dhari. But it's so difficult to change the heart. And we have seen so many failures, even in our well-intentioned movement. Even we have been disappointed by devotees whom we even worshipped as high-positioned devotees. We have seen that the change of heart was not really done. The change of hairstyle was done perfectly, and of clothing also, but the change of heart goes deeper. In the Hari Bhakti Vilas, a verse is given about the change of heart, which tells you what you are up to. It goes almost into nuclear science, this verse. He says, Sanatana Goswami says, there, that just like copper or ordinary bell metal, that's something like brass, can be changed into gold by a certain alchemical process. Clearly, by instruction from a qualified brahmana or spiritual master, an ordinary person can become a Vaishnava. This is the example. more than the Brahman even. Now, let us look for a moment to understand this example. What do you think is necessary to change brass into gold? What is necessary is to enter the atomic composition of that element and change the atoms which are bound by strong forces together around. This attempt equals what is done in an atom explosion, where the atomic structures are going out of tandem, out of harmony. It is a very, very, very difficult process which in medieval Germany the alchemists tried to do. Often they were misunderstood. They did not really want, they are mystics, they did not want to really get make gold for the kingdoms. They wanted to understand the process of transformation of the heart. They wanted, they thought if we find the formula to change brass into gold, this will be a universal formula which will also work on other, in other environments. I do not say the speculations are right, I just want to illustrate what the thinking is and what the understanding is about changing brass into gold. So similarly, if you want to become truly compassionate in your life and become free from the enjoyer mood and also the envious mood when you can't enjoy and others can enjoy in your eyes, oh, you have to go deep in your life. I could paint brass golden with some golden paint, but it will not survive one German winter. In other words, you can paint yourself, you can externally change yourself and become a Sankirtan man who tries to be compassionate. But if you have only externally understood the philosophy, easier frontiers. So I think I can give myself as an example, someone whose heart was not changed. So by now, you might say, thank you very much for solidly discouraging us during the Sankirtan festival. You should give an inspiring talk. That's why you get prasad during this festival, not a disinspiring talk. Is it possible to transform our heart? Can we change the copper into gold? Very often says in very serious conversations that this is very, very important to think about this. To save them from being washed away by Maya. If we become washed away, then what is the hope? Therefore Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said, Janma Sataka Kori Kalakara Para Upaka. Be strong so that you may not be rescued. And then you can do it. Otherwise it will be impossible. How is it possible? A man is drowning. If you are strong enough, you can save. But if you also become drowned, then how will you save him? So everything is there. Save yourself. Save others. This is our Krishna consciousness movement. First of all, save yourself. Then try to save others. We will come back to Srila Prabhupada's conversation in Mayapur. This was in a very serious mood when he talked to his disciples. Save yourself. transformation is necessary. Bhaktisiddhanta Sarasvati Thakur spoke about the need to purify yourself solidly by saying even something which you will find objectionable if in the Sangha. He said, the world is in no need of any reformer. The world has a very competent person for guiding its minutest happenings. The person who finds that there is scope for reform of the world himself stands in need of reform. The world goes on in its own perfect way. No person can deflect it, means change its course, by the breath of a hair from the course chalked out for it by providence. What is necessary is to change our outlook to this very world. It is therefore his own reform by the grace of God, whose supreme necessity of nature a devotee is increasingly able to realize by the eternally continuing mercy of the Supreme Lord. Reform yourself first, Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Sarasvati Thakur stated. If you want to have this very challenging quotation, which I think you would like to read, I want to read this on my own, you can go to this book, Compassion, Vaishnava Compassion, from Satsvarupa Maharaj. He has quoted this on page 65. Now, I want to go back to Prabhupada's room conversation. What does this mean now, what we have heard? We should first work on ourselves and then preach? No. You can only transform yourself if you preach. And we will say in a moment why this is so. First of all, Prabhupada says, save yourself, then try to save others. Or both things can go on simultaneously. Saving others and save yourself. The same example. If you want to save somebody who's drowning, you must know that I may not be washed away. I have to remain strong. Then I can save him. Prabhus, how do you think will you be changed according to our previous statement? How will you enter Prithu Prabhu's passionate call for the you first civilization? How will you change your heart? The Shastra says that there are five very potent processes which can change the heart. It starts with devotee association, chanting the holy name, reading the Bhagavatam, serving the Murti, the deity, residing at a holy place. These processes are very powerful in themselves if they are performed without offenses. And even a slight contact with them can bring love of God about. This movement, let me give you just only one example which struck me when Bhakti Chaitanya Maharaj talked about this in Estonia, about how this process of devotional service can change us around. It is a very nice example, and when he told it, I really meant it. He gave an answer to a question which I have lectured about, but it was very good the way he talked about it. He talked of a simple fisherman who was fishing at the coast of Puri. You know, when you're now in Jagannath Puri, don't be disappointed. There are many, many, many opportunities for Bengalis to eat fish. The swimming cucumber, as they always excuse their non-veg habits, they make the fish into a cucumber, which is a vegetarian, a swimming cucumber. a little hypocritical, but this is what they do. So this fisherman was fishing. He was a fish eater. So one day, in his fisher net, he met his transformation. There was a golden fish. It was the divine body of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, who in divine ecstasy had entered the coast, the ocean of Puri, and had been washed away by the current. For Mahaprabhu, the ocean was identical with the Yamuna of Braj, and the trees who were lining the ocean were identical with the Kalpa Vriksha trees where his beloved Lord Shri Krishna played on his long scene called the Gopis for the Radha dance. So Mahaprabhu had come in ecstasy. He had followed the sound of the divine flute and rushed into the Yamuna and was washed away by it, and now was in the net of the fishermen. The fishermen looked at his catch and he then did what is called multi-seva. He touched the body of the Lord, which pujaris do when they do the breath of deity, and he immediately came into a divine ecstasy. But because he was not educated and was previously maybe a fish eater, I do not know of his exact historical background, he thought he was crazy. He ran on the bank needing an exorcist. I need an exorcist. My ball. He was like this condition. Swami Damodar, the Swami, who was searching for Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, who was desperately searching for him, met him, and he could see by the symptoms of the fisherman, this fisherman was in love. Hari Bol, Hari Bol, he went like this. And he was very, he thought, this is an indication. He said, stop. He slapped the fisherman. Stop! What has happened to you? Tell me. Very good. But something happened to him. He spoke steady. I'm a qualified exorcist. Tell me where the ghost is. Tell me where the ghost is. Lead me to the ghost, please. Hari Bol. Can you help me? Yes, I can help you, but lead me to the ghost first. And this way, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was found. This man was most fortunate. The brass had turned into gold. His heart had done the transformation by what we call multi-seva. He had touched the divine body of the Lord. Any of such processes have this potency. It may not work so fast because this will happen if you meet Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, but it will work. And one thing now, those who work in the mission of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu have a chance to meet Chaitanya. I was very, very moved by what Manidhara Prabhu told us when he did this very unusual way of book distribution yesterday, you know, with the newspaper and all. Manidhara Prabhu has cautioned us that this is not an authorized general technique of book distribution. He has said, I don't know why I did it, and I would not do it again, this is just it came over me. And he said, this is an example of some type of empowerment. The person was not offended at all, he was just happy to receive the book. He was lifted by some type of energy on a level that most Germans are not when you light the newspaper. Something can happen, some transformation. And I think we will hear more about from Manidhara about such things today. And I think we all know what it is. We all have experienced sometimes during kirtan that time when we all of a sudden just feel enlivened and off the mental platform and something is happening. We all know when we are just going books, this was not me, I wasn't such bad consciousness, I'm so Mr. Ordinary really as I go on the street, but this happened to me and it was the arrangement of Lord Krishna. Dear devotees, the transformation is not easy. And you should watch yourself where you are at the time. But please know, by moving in this Sankirtan movement, you are in the right movement forwards. It goes in the direction. And by staying in it and going through these difficult times, where you notice when you look into your heart, and make the embarrassing check again in this other Vaishnava. Oh no, again, for thinking of me first and so on. Don't worry, you're in the process of Mahaprabhu. And stay with the movement and hope for touching the grace of the Lord by pleasing Him. I want to come to the end of this now. Srila Prabhupada once wrote what our mood should be as preachers and as book distributors who work in this compassionate mission. As long as one is not compassionate to people in general in his devotional service to the Lord, he is a third class devotee. This is Kanishtha Adhikari. The first class devotee gives assurance to every living being that there is no fear of this material existence. And now please, this is so wonderful, Prabhupada. This is really compassion. Let us live in Krishna consciousness and conquer the nations of material existence. I so much want to applaud the devotees. I've seen a few of you on the movie now, here on the movie screen, how you preach so nicely, encouraging the people. You know, this is about, what does Vijay Prabhu say? Inner happiness. Come to inner happiness. This is very compassionate preaching. He sees they are not so happy. Or another devotee said, attachment is so much suffering, isn't it? Yes. Then the devotee really invites people in proper words. Let us live in Krishna consciousness. Come on, and conquer the nations of material existence. This is very compassionate work which you are doing. And by this work, you will truly become compassionate more and more. At the end, I want to give you a very, very nice meditation from Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur, which can tell you a little bit how to be compassionate. How, when you are on the street, you can meditate about the people and you are not disturbed by the people, although they are sometimes maybe disturbing. It helped me very much. When I preach and when I'm in rock and roll festivals, you know, I also know what Manidhara told me. You're trying to serve prasadam and someone gives you his, hold this glass of beer please for me for a moment, I have to get some donation out of you. There's the glass of beer. I shouldn't have a glass of beer. I want to just
leave the battlefield. I didn't even drink beer before I came to Krishna consciousness. This was not my cultural setting. And or you meet just people who entirely disappoint you. You have visited them so many times, and then they close the door. Or in our movement, you see these impossible politics which are done really by childlike people, and so on. And you think like, oh, Krishna, how to go on? And but you have to go on. You have to transform your heart. You have to go against your ego, which wants to tell you, flee, 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 have your own little eccentric world for yourself, and so on. But the Sir Prabhupada, and I want to do it in the association of his International Society for Krishna Consciousness, and so on. This sometimes requires something, and here is something which might help you. It's a meditation, or you could say contemplation, or how you can practice humility, which is necessary for compassionate work. Are you ready for this? Concentration is now required, because I will just read from the text. The earth, which is always visible to me, is the expansion of the lotus feet of my Lord, who is always to be meditated upon. All moving and non-moving living beings have taken shelter of the earth and are thus sheltered at the lotus feet of my Lord. Understand the thought? The earth is an expansion of the lotus feet of the Lord, and since everyone is on earth, he is taking shelter at the lotus feet of the Lord. And then it goes even more spiritual. An ontological understanding of the living entity follows. In fact, all living entities constitute the Kostuba gem on my Lord's chest. Krishna Viya's Kastuba Jam, and this are the Jiva. The Jiva Sattva emanates from there. Therefore, I should never envy or deride any living entity. By practicing this meditation, one can achieve success in life. To make it very simple, think about the spiritual quality of the people to whom you're distributing books. They are souls. They are part and parcels of Krishna. Or to make it a little bit more, something new for the mind and for the heart and so on. Think of them as being so much part of the Krishna that they are at the feet of the Lord. And that they have emanated from the Kostuba gem of the Lord. They are godly, like you also. Whenever you become disturbed in your work of book distribution, just try to make this little step back and see, they are part of parcels of Krishna. When you become irritated by what is happening to you, seemingly brought about by other people, make a little step there. I am spiritual, they are spiritual. Whatever happens here is moving under the control of Krishna. That I learned my lesson in becoming compassionate, in transforming my heart. Hare Krishna. I want to thank you very, very much. 5 minutes over time, although I tried my level best, please excuse us. There may be now questions, but we cannot do this. No. We will have the questions which you have in the panel. We will have a panel this morning just for
questions and answers. I think really if we get now into questions and answers, then you know you need 10 minutes to get to the tent to eat prasadam and all of this. So we will do this. We will very enthusiastically have a question and answer session, but please prepare your questions. Sometimes in questions and answer sessions, if you have not thought about your question, then one maybe guest comes up and asks a question which may not be entirely relevant for all of you. So you should please work on your questions. You can use the magical box which is there to put your questions in, or you can ask them directly if you prefer this way. I have to just quickly tell you what is up for us. At 11 o'clock sharp, the BBT archives will present their preservation work of Srila Prabhupada's audiovisual legacy. They will also talk about some prophecies, I heard. And then we will hear different presentations by Mangamaya, North European BBT, Sada Shiva. Then our Manidhara Prabhu will do his fireworks of Sankirtan stories and inspirations. And then we will have the panel discussion right after Manidhara Prabhu. So at 8 o'clock something will come which will never leave your samskaras. It will be very, very dramatic at 8 o'clock. So I wish you a wonderful day of seminars and drugs that you can. I think this will for many be the last full day. Srila Prabhupada ki jai, Shri Gaurinidhai ki jai, Gopremanandi ki jai.
Manidhara was the first person who established a standard in Sankirtan. I mean, his standard was 40 books a day, which was completely unheard of. Every day Manidhara, there was an initial standard, around 40 books. And it astounded us, because most of us, maybe 5 books, 10 books, maybe 20 of us already big. Manidhara would stand in front of Srila Prabhupada, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Rama, 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 and chant us rounds in a very intense way, always like this, you know, chanting us rounds. And he established the nuts and raisins diet, the famous nuts and raisins diet, how to live on Sankirtan in a very simple way, in a very organized way, getting up every morning at the same time, going to bed at the same time. He established a Sankirtan standard for a traveling Sankirtan party before it was chaotic. It was totally chaotic. But with Manidhara, the whole thing actually took shape. And so in that sense, he established Sankirtan in Germany in a very big way. It affected all over Europe. It affected also in the whole world, because the German book distributors, at one time, we were the top book distributors in the entire world. That's all. Yes.
This applause was really not big enough. Please help me.
Such an introduction is not easy to say something. Because actually so many very nice things were already said during this festival. I personally, maybe 4 years ago, if somebody would tell me that I would be able to come to such a festival, I wouldn't believe that. It was not because I thought that it's not possible anymore to distribute Prabhupada's books. And I couldn't imagine that such an audience would be there and such a crew of inspired devotees would be there. Not only that, but seeing the various presentations, and I can give example the recordings from Stockholm with Vijay Prabhu, and this of course is for me personally just incredible inspiration, because it shows that not only that Sankirtan goes on, but the quality of book distribution and the depth how books are distributed increased immensely. Now I could now go for 1 hour into history of Sankirtan, into the old good old days, but actually as Prabhupada said, when one devotee said, Prabhupada, do you remember the good old days? Prabhupada said, there is no good old days in Krishna consciousness. Because actually it's the same nectar and the same energy at work which moves those who are sincere and take it towards the street, brings them out and allows them to do something they actually never thought to do. I don't think anybody of us ever thought that one day he would stand on the street and distribute books. He hardly ever read even. At least for me it was real, like living another lifetime. It was totally opposing to whatever I did before, whatever I lived before. And especially my introduction to Sankirtan was very abrupt. There was not this kind of seminaries. The seminar was, the first part was the shaving machine, and the second part was the van. And that happened within 2 days, and it was the end of the introduction seminary, and then from there on was the street. That was actually the seminary. So I feel very, very close to those devotees who still survived, and to Michael Betters, who actually did this through their preaching. Actually, you are sitting here. I didn't do anything about that. Yeah. But therefore I learned to appreciate also through Sankirtan very much the preaching work of Michael Betters, who actually bring these conditioned souls close to Krishna consciousness. One of the best days we had in Germany was when Bhakti Bhushana Maharaj at the Bhakta program, which prepared devotees so well that for me taking them out on the street was rather very easy. Actually he was an expert. He almost let them starve for Sankirtan. He kept them really tight until they were just begging to go on Sankirtan. He said, no, you are not qualified yet. And they were just dying, because he knew when they are really hot, then when the real cold shower comes on the street, then there will be something left. And it came, the cold shower, for sure it came. I would like to point out some devotees who presently go on the street, like in Germany. I can speak specifically about Germany. I don't think you understand what a wonderful preaching field you have there, in comparison to the old days. We now today we're sitting with Peter Prabhu for a few minutes and just joking about the old days. Now we can joke about it. Those days when we went through the heavy persecution, where going on Sankirtan was practically dangerous. Physically dangerous. This is nowadays like we can laugh about this. Okay. Nowadays devotees have such a smooth field to go out. So much support is actually there. It's better as ever before. So then it's the question to how to use it. Now to say something about Sankirtan, there are so many things one can say. And it will be difficult. Sankirtan is actually activity which is difficult to rationalize. Because if I would take the simple the video clip from Bhakta Ube. Yeah. I tell you quite frankly, materially it doesn't make sense. it doesn't make any sense for a person who was driving a truck is not standing there selling a book about God to people who appear in this world to forget God, and he like that. And they take it. It doesn't make any sense from any point of view. Yeah. But ultimately, he ends up being happy, and the people are happy, and everybody is happy. We don't have actually self techniques, seminaries like that. There's some basic things we have to learn. There's some basic mistakes to be made. They don't want to go in detail into that. But what actually it comes down to ultimately, Sankirtan is inspiration. But that inspiration comes from another level. It is not a place you can get inspired materially. Rather, everybody knows Sutta Sankirtan, you can get very easily discouraged materially. Very quickly, within 1 minute. You know. So actually, the inspiration is a spiritual one, and that makes Sankirtan so enlightening. Like that was mentioned here, I used to go on Sankirtan, I used to be known for actually not being like in an initial stage. I was known for being a total fanatic who just were caring only about his quota, result, packed his car, and looked around who was sitting behind him and drove off. And those days it was actually fitting into the program, because when I looked who was sitting behind me sometimes, it was very special. I just looked there, I was going, oh, okay, and then I drove off. And then the atmosphere at Sankirtan was something of a, you know, of a military commando, which is, you know, just opened the door, I was the only one who had the keys, and I locked it. And I unlocked it whenever I was allowed to enter the van and go back to the temple or to the hotel, and that was it. So,
you used to say the same time then between miserable. Because if it's miserable inside and miserable outside, you might as well go outside.
Did I say that? But if it's this kind of cold, you don't like good, right? So that was the first initial. But of course, when you go out on the street and get the daily treatment of Sankirtan and then get the personal lessons, because every Sankirtan devotee has personal lessons to receive while he's distributing, it's a very intimate service actually. Because there, when you go out, Krishna and Guru Parampara and the spiritual master, they have a special lessons for you to prepare. It's very specific, very individual. It's very personal. So then, a little bit broadening my vision, I realized, you know, later that it's not going to be me running around distributing tons of books forever. And there will be other, and they have to come, to continue. And that became actually more and more the greatest source of inspiration is my own result. And I, looking now backwards, I have to say, this was the real bliss. To have 10 bhaktas in a car. Sometimes we were 8 or 10. Sometimes we left on Monday at 10, we came back 8. Anyway. Can we do it? But this was the real lesson. Because seeing Bhakta Hans, who on Monday goes out, you know, and when they start, it's so beautiful, you know. They just, nobody believes that he can distribute a book when he starts the first day. I never saw anybody going out and say, watch me, I can do it. They all look like, you know, like the chickens who just popped out. You know. So I had my standard technique, you know. I had my favorite parking lots, where I just had the van, and then I had the bhakta, and then I knew people are coming here, and then I distributed around that, because you need personal example. It's very important. One cannot just learn Sankirtan theoretically and go out and do it. But was mentioning here, friendship is very important, persons, very important. Until today, my Krishna consciousness is powered by persons. Starting with Srila Prabhupada and ending up with my Gopadas. Actually, this is a real inspiration. I need absolutely, that's essential, otherwise one gets discouraged. So then you have this bhakta standing there, it doesn't work. How should I give it? To whom? How? Then you start with the basic things, you know. People have two hands. So when you hold the book, you aim down there for the arm. This arrow.
They will not take it.
When you, they will. Watch. When you aim in that area, the arm automatically comes up.
Yes.
you may love him, but the first Bhatta is going to do, he's going to do. They don't eat the books. And they got the droplet. And then they drop it, then they have it. And they cannot go because I'm going to drop the book. And the next person, what shall you do? But say something. What shall I say? Something simple. But I highly admire this distribution, like methods of Vijaya Prabhupada. It's wonderful. With this book open and look here. And it's simple, but it's nice. It's very Krishna conscious. I cannot claim I had this kind of techniques. My distribution technique also those days in Germany was recommendable not to be too long while you were distributing the book, so you kept it as short as possible. In other words, you said, you know, they're coming from there, and we go over there, and then we see the book here. That was basically the mantra, yeah. And if you did it very enthusiastically, nobody asked any questions. There's no opposite customer. That was basically it, 3 minutes. That's it. And it proved to me that actually Sankirtan is not so much based on a big, rational, you know, presentations, but actually this is the devotee himself who is selling himself. You may think now, you may analyze how Vijaya Brahma is distributing, how Uva is distributing, but actually they all have one thing in common, you know, the personal impact. That's the real thing. You know, when a person goes in the street and then somebody comes to them they never saw before. Like when I said, you know, I'm from California. This voice, you don't find a second one in the whole universe. The just the sound of that voice would stop me immediately. I would go, what? California or New York or who cares for that? But the sound of the voice. And then you look around and you see somebody standing there who's completely cool. In the middle of the shopping street. He looks at you like it's the most natural thing. It's what we are doing here. No doubt. And it's the most natural thing that you stop now. And of course it's the most natural thing you buy a book. And even more natural is that you pay for it. No doubt. And immediately that mental composure of that devotee molds and shapes the mental body of that karma. Not only mental body, but goes deeper. You call upon the soul, come out. But you have to understand that you are soul yourself, otherwise it doesn't work. So actually the whole what happens there is in the spiritual plane. And that makes Sankirtan so wonderful. And then you have a Bhakta Hans, who first times give out the book. And actually Sankirtan is so powerful that his spiritual identity comes forward immediately. He doesn't even know it. His mind is still working, what I'm doing here. The senses go, what is this? But the soul is already in ecstasy a long time ago. And he can't help it. He doesn't even know why. And I think Bhakta distributing the first book, it's such a spiritual experience. I had them coming back, you know, running across the parking lot. He took it! Because if you want to last a little bit longer, the first thing you do, you go back and don't get puffed over! But it's too late. He already got puffed up. Except for the rest of the day, he redistributes nothing. But it was a good lesson. Because the next day he starts again. Already that realization there is something which is called puffed up. Be careful. He realized there is a force puffed up. So next day he is more careful. See, so he distributes one book. I took it. He remembers, don't get puffed up. Okay. Then he distributes second book. He remembers, don't get puffed up. Then he distributes the third book and he goes, I did it! Finished for the rest of the day. Basically, this is what the lessons are. You are sitting on a seat that day at the beginning. And it never stops. There is no routine sankirtan. Not like one day you go out of the venue. It's like Vijay Prabhu when he looks in the street, he's saying, huh? It's not easy, man. It's not easy. in such a distribution, in that few seconds, you have summarized years and years of purification, years and years of transcendental learning, experience, yeah, daily. I'm sure that even he will find himself sometimes on a steep crying, because I did my crying really good. Really crying. I could go now slip into the Leelas again, but you have experiences which ultimately are not funny, but it's good, because every tear, like one devotee told me, every tear you cry on Sankirtan is washing away your false ego. And actually it's good, but most sincere. And that's what Sankirtan provokes. It's actually for those who are actually sincere. They really, as was given the example, don't like to look back. They just, you know, say, okay, another day of devotional service, another day of devotional service, another day of devotional service, and you know, and that's what, how it's going to be. No looking back. So with this kind of mood, Sankirtan becomes actually very easy, because the process in itself is not difficult. To do it is difficult, but the technique and the process is very simple. I used to tell the Bhaktas, this is like giving somebody present on Christmas. What's the difference? You give it to him. And they're going, how can I give it to him? Just give it to him. They can't imagine, I can just do that. Yes, just give it to him. Then, of course, the personality has to come. And therefore, we have problems because we are very heavily covered by Mayavada, and Sankirtan doesn't tolerate Mayavada. The person has to come out. You know? That's what people are fascinated in the street, because they are all covered by Mayavada. They are all in this impersonal, going, you know, shopping street, floating around, the senses rolling on, you know. And here comes somebody, a person, who goes, you, person, can you, yeah, like this, yeah, this. And this, you know, the most beautiful days on Sankirtan experience were actually not a very spectacular one. They were very wise and very confidential. You know, hello. It's very quiet. And those actually, those are also wonderful book distributors. You didn't so much in externally. It was very intense internally. They got a grip on that person. By the mercy of the Super Soul, by the mercy of Guru Parampara, you have that person there. So the Prabhupada told, like, the Purani told him, you can actually distribute a book to anybody. Because he was that moment empowered to grab that person, to come to that person and platform. So actually Sankirtan is only for personalists. You have to become a person. And you are already a person. But it brings out the real person. And you have to be so much personal that actually you force even the other one who is covered by Mayavada to actually come forward personally. In other words, you have to be double Krishna conscious for him too. You know, so actually drag him out of that conditioning. Once one is coming to that level, which is very special, very rare, Sankirtan becomes so pleasant and so natural. When Srila Prabhupada was coming to Germany second time, it was around the time I got initiated, we had this one day, it's a German idea, one day to collect Mercedes for Prabhupada, you know, and everybody should go out. And this was mentioned here, when this congregational effort is there, it's incredibly encouraging. We knew everybody's out, even pujaris went, everybody went out that day. I remember around midnight or after midnight, we selected a special place, Düsseldorf. It's a kind of town in Germany where you can distribute during the day in a shopping street, and evening you tune into the downtown, you know, like which is connected. You distribute downtown in this, between these bars and this kind of, there's a whole place like this. So, and because we were so charged with the idea that Prabhupada is coming in a few days. Yeah. So, I come to that example, lost my mantra. By the midnight, I was telling people, he's coming. People had tears in their eyes. They were wondering what happened. It was completely absurd. You know, in this downtown, this is one of these places where sometimes some ladies standing around with red light district, special. We didn't care, we didn't think about this. We had one devotee completely silent. he was expert to go into bars. You know, there was these people sitting there on these high chairs, you know, on these tables, drinking their whiskey or beer. He just came with his guitars, and he was going, "Hello!" Sit on a big chair. That's a water priest. But the guitars there, this is the last place you're going. It doesn't make any sense to see what they're placed there. But for him, but he came from that place anyway. So, and he came out, and we met somewhere in a, I think 2 o'clock or 3 o'clock in the morning. We met like at the car, just laughing, completely crazy, intoxicated, you know, just laughing. And then we drove back to the temple. We came around the group, which in the morning back to the temple, still with the Sankirtan bags hanging on. We just dropped from the group, we just completely crazy laughing. This was, you know. I have to give, you know, be in a van lectures, you know, that then you have the screen and you can look. And you have 4 bhaktas in a van and you give Bhagavad Gita lecture. And you think, you see, passion, look at them. Lust, look at them. You know, yeah, this is the real thing. And I just give this answer to not make it too dry. And Krishna is responding, you know, Sankirtan. It's alive, 24 hours alive. Nothing that were to chant, you realize, like Prabhupada was very agitated. If you want to agitate Prabhupada, you mention chant. He was a, you know, immediately he was there. Who said that? Chant. Where's chant? Where's the rascal? Immediately. Because I was like, yeah, right, nothing is chant. Everything is under Krishna's control. He controls you, the devotees, the karmis, the car, everything has a reason. Nothing happened accidentally. I'll give you one example. And yesterday I was telling how I was heroically running as the first one out of the car. But there's another story from Bart Litton, I think, from the town. Got a big parking lot. And it was again one of these marathon days, and I again had a few bhaktas in the car. And again, we very speedily took our prasadam, I think it was raisins and nuts, something like that. And I, first time, you know, the first one devoured the whole thing very quickly. And packed my bag very quickly again. The problem is we were standing on a parking lot very early in the morning, and I knew this town was always considered to be nectar. Somewhere it was always good. But we were very early. There was nobody there. It was just us, one car, standing on a big parking lot. And there was no even other cars coming. It was very early, but I was thinking I have to give example, you know, I have to go out even nobody was there. I have to go out and just wish I would send somebody. What he did? Because as soon as I exited the car, on the other side of the parking lot, completely at the end, appeared a girl which was crossing the parking lot on the other side. So things are here. Book distribution key jai. Just ran across the parking lot towards that girl.
Me, Brahmachari.
And was going, "Hello!" Without warning. It never happened to me before and never after that. Without warning, she was going, "Hello!" And she fell around my neck and gave me a kiss. And I stood there with this girl around my neck, looking towards the sanctuary. And I'm excited, they just. Exited the parking lot and headed to the shopping street, which was also empty. And I remember I had to laugh at the end. It was so exciting. You should have a humor. The special heroes, they have a special humorous treatment. And they get in a reasonable shape again. This is the moment, this is one of these things where you really appreciate. You see, Krishna is there, he's giving you love. And very humorous ones too. But Krishna can take the fear away from you. Very often, Sankirtan you will distribute in circumstances which are actually dangerous. Remember in Berlin, one winter marathon, December, very dark, you know, snow and dark, and Berlin is like raining, and
you go out and you smash, you know, and so I just did it and I got better. It's a big city, you can distribute practically anywhere. So we were distributing in one part of Berlin. I got a little bit out of the main traffic and I got a little bit lost in the side streets. And I kind of distributed and it was getting darker and darker. And then, you know, and then I kind of lost the orientation, I was tired. And then there was somewhere in some kind of dark corner, there was somebody coming out, and I gave him automatically a book. And it was one of these little bit dark skinned gentlemen, you know, looking like. He was not German. And he spoke very broken German, and he said, "What do you want?" And I said, "Well, you can take my book and we ask for a donation." And he said, "I'll give you a donation." And he pulled a gun. Now, I don't know much about guns, but I knew this was a real one. It was not the doesn't have the little sink in the middle in the hollow, you know, it was empty. So I ended up looking in that barrel on that gun. So immediately, it's completely spontaneous. So I put my small finger into the barrel. So now what? And he started laughing, put the gun away, and that was actually the end of the story. I just went around the corner, I mean, Sankirtan is full of it. Every Sankirtan devotee, sooner or later, probably very soon, has tons of these stories to tell. What he actually is doing. If you would see it in the evening on a video or something, you think, what are you doing here? And actually, in a material sense, it's the same thing. We are always under control of some energy, either the external one or the internal one. You know, the beautiful thing of Sankirtan is that along with spiritual inspiration. So it's spiritualized, because Prabhupada used to say Krishnaized. You know, that's actually the word Prabhupada used to say. And that's the beautiful thing when you take a bhakta on the Sankirtan. You see the material body, the conditioning, the gunas and the varna is there, already actually coming out. Varna, guna, it's all there, karma, it's all predicting, like his shape. Like I doubt that Bhakti Prabhupada will distribute in some other way as he's doing now. I doubt that. He does the same. I cannot do that. You know, telling this, you know, this classical German way, and it was like reading a manual, you know. Book, good, take, you know, make me happy, bye bye, you know. You go, yes, yeah, in another country, you do the same thing in Italy, it's absurd. You can do that. I saw the Italian devotees many years back on the street. Incredible. They're like, come on, me. Monks, you know, and Maria. You do the same thing in Germany, it's important. It's ridiculous. You know. So, Krishna is using that physical body of the body, including his body, and spiritualizing it on Sankirtan. To see this, it's fantastic. It gives you such a faith. You know. That actually, even me, with that gross material body conditioned, actually I can be used by Krishna. And being used by Krishna, that's the essence of Sankirtan, that's the bliss. When you at the end watch your body moving like a machine, and Krishna is doing things, you are becoming just the onlooker. You just watch. Akulapa, he's doing. As much we realize it, he is the doer, we are simply the tool. It's much easier and beautiful Sankirtan becomes very inspiring. So there are moments where Krishna shows you this, and well, I remember these moments because actually I would always like to be like that, which is not always possible. Sooner or later, the false ego comes into the picture, our rational is thinking, what I'm doing here, you know, and immediately the whole process is blocked. And then we start to struggle. Again, out of that pit, our introverted, material, you know. I love myself, so-called this body, nature, coming out of that and again opening oneself towards Krishna's mercy and preparing oneself to be actually his tool so he can use us. If he can manage, that's a degree. Successful Sankirtan devotee in Sambhuri who actually is used by Krishna. And so therefore it's so fascinating to meet such a person, even for materialists. Even materialists can see, oh, this blood is different, it's moved by something else. This is not normal, ordinary salesman. Once in one parking lot, they had this experience. You know, in Germany, they have the salesmen traveling around. They have a car full of this car pollution, you know, things. And they also use the same parking as we did. And they wait when people go shopping and they polish a piece of car, and then the people come back to the car and go, you know, buy this, you know. So we always contacted them on the way, and there was one like this. And he was watching us half a day, what we are doing there, you know. And he was saying, yeah, it's a real thing, man. So 1 o'clock or 2 o'clock in the afternoon, we saw him again, freshly shaved. Now, when you shave somebody first time, it looks pretty wild, you know. It's like you cut with a machete through the jungle, you know. He was like, piece of this, look, this is the trick, this is it. Weird guy, wide head, you know, shaved, you know. And he was going to start polishing. Ah, get out! And the only reason he got out the day that he lost his hair. But this is just a technique. This is actually, it's not a technique. It's inspiration. So there are actually stories which I illustrate in the animal. There's so many in my head. just because I mentioned before how wonderful times now Sankirtan yogis can have in Germany, if they have, just to underline it, I can tell you a few stories how it used to be in the past. It was a bit different. Like the Bhakta class for the beginners on the street started like this. There are 3 kinds of police. This was the beginning of the Bhakta introduction of Sankirtan. It's very relevant. So, because that was important. Otherwise, you, at least once a day, you end up sitting in the Bhakta. Guarantee. I was fortunate, I had a kind of a little bit low profile nature. You know, just being designated often as the leader of the Govinda League. Govinda League, that was the softies, you know. And we had Nishinda League, this was the real heavy. This was the guys who could not play. At the end, Govinda League emerged victorious because the Nishinda League was traveling from one court case to another. So I didn't have so much from it, but nevertheless, you got hit by the police. People are calling all the time. And they were encouraged to do so by the newspapers. There was heavy propaganda going on. We were going in Germany through days where you walk in the street. You get out of the car, a German, typical German lady going shopping, so you're going, ah! She grabbed you and she screamed, I got him! The police came, you know. And then, so what did he do? Well, he didn't do anything, but he's Hare Krishna, you know. And they wrote in the newspaper, you should kill them. They were really catching us like flies. There was a mood, I think, on the street. For maybe 3-4 months, it was very intense. It was like that. So in that atmosphere, we just put attention. But somehow, assuming that even a policeman is a normal condition, so, you know, they had even some funny stories to tell about that. You know, in Stuttgart, which was considered to be a very hot place, very active ordnance amt. Yeah, very active. So we used to receive orders. That's the reason until today, I'm so polluted by this. Until today, you will not find me on a shopping season, I used to go. Because I go, next corner. Once out of fun, we took this counter, you know, which counts how many meters you run a day. And we figured out every Sankirtani what is also was walking around 40-50 kilometers a day. Going. In just around the shopping streets, zooming. You couldn't stay anywhere. So going. As soon as you stood, it's trouble. Yeah. So, polluted by. Until today, I don't have to swing anymore. I amaze me that devotees come there with these trolleys, you know, tons of books. Hello. I mean, there was a time when I was going to sing and I said, hello, the police are in 2 minutes.
So I'm running out of time. So I don't want to bother anybody more. So no talks. So I can only really thank everybody for coming here, and I'm really grateful I could be part of this. It's most inspiring to see new and new devotees coming up, having that level of faith already. Sankirtan requires faith. That actually they even try to go out and they achieve even such a wonderful result. So.
Hare Krishna, thank you very much, Manidhara Prabhu. Now we will start our meeting. Ready to address all of us. So I have to mix this. Oh yeah, then may we go. One from here and one from the audience. Here's the first question. Listen very well to the question. Someone maybe Bhakta Priya, are you still here, Bhakta Priya? Or Olaf, I can see you. I think you know my right back, which is there. It's from Manalisa for the Leather House.
There's somebody missing on the panel, and that's Manumaya Prabhu.
Yeah. He's bathroom. He's coming.
Okay,
yeah. Oh, yeah. Yes. So here's the first question. How practical is it for Sankirtan devotees to take care of health? As from, yeah, in regards to Sankirtan, huh? Of Sankirtan devotees. No one is addressed here. Who would like to answer this question, please? I think Manidhara Prabhu is a good person to do this because he did not always take care of his health.
Such an emergency, you're humorous. But maybe I can say something because I was exactly the example of one who doesn't take care of the health. And this was done, of course, in a youthful passion and so-called enthusiasm. But if a Sankirtan devotee has a long-term program, long-term plan how to continue Sankirtan, then he should also have a long-term plan how to maintain his body. And we all know it's not exactly possible. The body is pre-programmed with a certain time bombs which explode in a certain time and give us hard time. But at least we don't have to speed up the process by irregular behavior. Yeah. Health includes basically resting, eating. All these things, they belong to the body, but the body, especially on Sankirtan, becomes most valuable too, because we know as a ghost we will not be able to do much of a Sankirtan. So we need a physical body. So when one is young, usually one tends not to pay too much attention to these things. One cannot imagine that actually there's an aging process, that there will be problems coming up. But one can actually, especially by regulating the mental body, by proper sadhana, by proper chanting, and proper understanding of Srila Prabhupada's philosophy, that should produce also a proper lifestyle for the physical body, actually. By properly understanding that Sankirtan is not just a short-term affair where you shoot up in the sky like a rocket and burn up, you know, as a piece of paper and come down again simply as a frustrated, as we used to call in the old days, a Sankirtan burnout. You know, with a broken body and possibly even broken mind. That should be avoided. It can be avoided. So one should have a long-term plan and being regulated. Regulation is very essential. Steadiness. I started Sankirtan in a days where there was no chanting before we go on the street. Chanting was done sometimes in between. There was no proper sadhana and ultimately no proper food, no proper prasadam. All these things all together, Sankirtan actually requires a lifestyle. And in that lifestyle is included maintenance of the body, which should go along with the sadhana bhakti process.
Thank you very much, Manidhara Prabhu. I have a little bit, I have to request all of you who are on the panel to please answer briefly. You were a little in the mood, but very nice. So that is really likely. Here's another one. Let me see if it is addressed to a certain person. If you sell books and the person has no money and likes to have the book, can we give the book for free, or do we always have to get a donation? Anyone? Vijay, this seems to be a very practical oriented question.
Thanks, I've met many devotees who received books from book distributors who didn't give a donation. They were just interested. They didn't have any money. So the devotee in the Sankirtan Guru just gave it to them for free. So yeah, that's not in, and they became devotees. Yeah. So it's not an absolute necessity. And, I mean, after you've been doing Sankirtan for a while, you're able to see where people at. You know, they're interested. It's not an uncommon thing for people to walk around with no money. So Krishna makes up for it. Yeah, so yeah, let it go. It's no hard and fast rule for them.
So when there's a very nice person then who really likes the book, you give it. Yes. Is the next question?
Oh, this is addressed to Sashinanda Maharaj.
How to react when a person on the street blasphemes Vedic literature, the author, or a Sankirtan devotee? Should one go away, or should one say anything? Hare Krishna. In my experience, there are two types of blasphemy. One is he can be corrected, and the other is he's just so much in the fire of offense that there is no possibility. So when you see, and this really comes by experience, that there's someone who, when you just listen a little bit to him, then answer his argument, and then tilt him over to the positive side, this is possible, then you could do it. But if you see someone in flames, you say, I'm very, very sorry, I have to go to the toilet. It is a must, a human necessity, or something, that they won't take any further offense because you let them stand. Hare Krishna. Hope it satisfies you. Next question. Can you explain why there are so few senior book distributors now, or rather, how we can best cultivate long-term book distribution? I will turn with this question to a senior devotee, Devamrita Maharaj. Can you explain why there are so few senior book distributors now, or rather, how we can best cultivate long-term
book distributors. Because Dibamita Maharaj is known for building up Sankirtan teams, so he will have a lot of explanation.
Now, of course, I have to speak briefly, and this is a very deep question. First of all, as Mahidevar Prabhu explained, bodies do break down. There's a physical requirement that some forms of sankirtan require. And also, it is a fact that many devotees marry, and somehow or other, their material necessities become overwhelming, and they're not able to see that in any circumstance you can make some contribution to book distribution, just like we heard Brahma Maharsha Prabhu explaining about Jai Gaur Prabhu. It is a very wonderful example, which actually should be the normal thing. Now, if we make more of an effort to show devotees that they may not be able to go on the street as they get older, but there's always some way they can plug in their efforts, that would be very nice. And I'm sure that you all do that here. You have to expect that not everyone's going to stay with it all their life. A better question would be, those who are staying with that all their life in some way or another, what motivates them? Because, you see, this same question will lead to, well, why don't all devotees stay in Krishna consciousness all their life? You can just get bigger and bigger on this. And once Prabhupada did comment, of course Prabhupada said many things, but once he did say that, don't so much fix upon those who have, don't concentrate, worry so much about those, don't be surprised about those who have left, be surprised about those who have stayed. Now, yes, he said other things on the other side too, but I'm just, in a brief discussion, I cannot cover everything. So, you should understand that life in this world, materially, is complicated. And when our simplicity, the original simplicity of our purpose, our spiritual purpose, becomes somehow or other lost or diminished, then things get very intricate in life. And this is the main reason why you'll see that someone cannot continue all their life in some way connected to book distribution. I myself don't have the physical strength to go on the streets. But I try to sell sets by talking, encouraging others, and I also try to write books that cause people to want to buy sets. And by Krishna's grace, I've had some success with that. So, in some way, the older devotees, if they want to please Prabhupada in that best way, they'll find a way to do it. Just like Prithu Prabhu, he's inspiring so many young devotees, so he's actually distributing through them by Prabhupada's grace. That's actually what's going on.
Jayadrita Swami as well.
And Jayadrita Maharaj, who from the very beginning of my Krishna conscious career was always an inspiration, even when I first saw my television. He's always been involved with Prabhupada's books. Like, it's not like because he's not on the street, his heart is not there. But you have to see the whole picture, and then I think you'll be more encouraged.
You see, I'm going to say something. You see, every army has many legs. It's not just the infantry. There are people who have to take care that the armory is in order. There are people who are repairing. There are people who are running. There are people that are cooking. There are people that supply, logistic. So, sankirtan is a major endeavor that involves a lot of different people, not just the devotees on the street. Like, I don't even see that Brahma Muhurta is not doing sankirtan. He's doing sankirtan in his particular way. The point is that once we dedicate our life to Prabhupada, we should always be part of the sankirtan mission in some way or another. That is the point. You may not be able to be on the street as an infantry, but we can, like Jai Gora, he does his bit,
Somebody may be become an industrialist and let him give thousands of dollars towards the Sankirtan movement. Somebody may be involved in any capacity, but he should give, he should support. There could be hundreds and thousands of people who somehow or other, although they may not be on the street, can be part of this mission. And I think that's really to the core, to the question is not why don't the people on the street, the question is why do people give up their commitment? And that is the more tragic thing. I think the real thing is that we should all be, never mind how old we are, never mind what our capacities are, we should all be part of the Sankirtan mission of Lord Chaitanya.
Thank you. Thank you very much. I would like to now see if there is any question at this stage from the audience which you would like to address to the panel or to any member of the panel. Bhakta Uwe. So this is actually Bhakta Uwe from the movies. Fass dich bitte kurz, weil ich ja noch übersetzen muss.
Ich habe eine Frage in CD-Verteilung. Da wird viel Techno verteilt und die Leute, die CDs kriegen, die wissen nichts von Hare Krishna, dass Hare Krishna drauf ist. Und die, wenn die kaufen und sie zu Hause reintun, sind sie so enttäuscht, dass sie gar kein Buch mehr nehmen. Wie kann man da jetzt abwenden? Da wird viel Techno verteilt, die Leute, die verteilen halt, die sagen halt nicht, dass Hare Krishna Buster ist oder was da drauf ist. Und die Leute denken echt, das wäre so Rockgruppe aus dem Fernsehen oder aus dem, ja, und sie sind natürlich enttäuscht. Wie kann man das unterbinden?
Yes, here comes, this is a very good question to our BBT person. The question in English was, there are many CDs which have some music like techno music, and people who receive these CDs, which are distributed, are sometimes very disappointed and do not wish to purchase a book afterwards. So what is with these CDs, musical CDs, which are also distributed? And I think it's a good question to ask Brahma Huda Prabhu, because some of it is also published by the BBT, I understand.
Some of it,
please.
Traditional music distribution CD, or before it was vinyl records and from CD distribution has helped us quite substantially to translate and publish in languages that need to be subsidized. For example, Turkmen, Tajik, Udmurt, Azerbaijani, Karakalpak. We never heard of Karakalpak, you know, that's a language, and we have books in these languages. So somehow or other the money had to come from this, so we took it from the CD distribution. I must say, at least now, we are not anymore into CD distribution. We haven't printed a CD for a long time. CD distribution is also pretty much, it's being phased out, I'm hearing. Now, okay, that's one point. On the other hand, I must also say that we have received an enormous amount of positive letters by email, by normal mail, by faxes. We have received much more positive mail from people who say, I want to know more about Krishna consciousness, from CD distribution than we actually get from books, which is, I would like it much more the other way around, really. I mean, it's it's nice to get this, but you think, oh, I mean, come on, well, you should get it even, you know, we should get maybe one from CDs and we should get 500 or 100 from books. Somehow or other, the music listeners, I think they're more into writing maybe, and maybe more into email or whatever, but we do get an enormous amount of fan mail, and if somebody says, well, prove it, I have a whole file of fan mail, and you wouldn't believe this. Somebody gets a Maturesh CD, you know, it's, for those of you who don't know, this is hardcore techno music, I would say. There's hardly any, you know, he puts a few South Indian Brahmanas on, and some or other, the people find in the leaflet somewhere, they find out that this is something spiritual, maybe something with Hare Krishna, maybe the distributor mentioned, I don't know what, but they write and they say, we want to know more about this. Obviously, this Maturesh is a vegetarian, he's a believer in reincarnation, etc. Tell us more about this, get us in contact with a man, so then we get these people in contact with the temples. So it's not all for nothing. It's not like, okay, Uwe says it, he meets people who don't like it, who are turned off by this. I'm sure this exists, because I think the CD distributors are not on the purest level of book distribution. I mean, the same technique as, you know, not pure distribution. But there are also a lot of people who appreciate this music. There's this Sri Hari CDs. I mean, in I don't know how many years, 5 years, 6 years since they exist, I have received one letter where somebody says this is not good, and how did I get this? He was drunk, he was completely drunk, I think he called us. Yes, and he was completely drunk, and he complained about that CD. And everybody else, just from these two Sri Hari CDs we have received, I would say, about 500-600 fan mails.
Wow.
Now that's not bad in comparison to one negative guy who was drunk and he wanted to republish AC/DC. So, but to come back to the point, we are, the BBT is not into this. Srila Prabhupada was not into, as I understand, not into music distribution. We would love that all these devotees who are now out with CD distribution take a book bag, start with small pamphlets, go up to the small books, medium-sized book, big books. It's possible they can make the same money with Srila Prabhupada's books than they can make with CDs, and the people out there have much more benefit from that.
Thank you very much, Prabhupada Gorda. The answer is very clear. Now, I would really like to... I don't know what's in there, but I want to really turn the microphone over to Jayaveda Maharaj, because he's not so often here, and he's one of the old editors of Srila Prabhupada. I hope by just sitting here and finding the right.
There is one for Jayaveda Maharaj.
There is one?
Yes, there is one. I mean, I took my sneak peek and I saw one.
Yes, you're not me, so you can look at it.
Here's one to try.
Okay. Is it possible to maintain book distribution even if you have difficulties with the regulative principles and material desires? This is a question to Mangal Maya. And Jayaveda Maharaj. So we will hear Jayaveda Maharaj first. Is the question clear to all of you, or should I repeat it?
Is it possible to maintain book distribution even if you have problems with the regular principles and material desires? Well, first of all, everyone has problems with material desires. And book distribution is going on, so it must be possible. It's difficult to maintain book distribution without following the regulative principles. Because not following the regulative principles means being weak in spiritual life. And distributing books requires strength. So you're at a disadvantage if you're not following the regulative principles, or if you're spiritually weak, then what force do you have for maintaining your book distribution? Now, that said, someone may have such... Do we need to change something here?
No, it's all right. Please continue.
Someone may have problems with regular principles, with material desires, with who knows what, and still have some determination that I have to distribute these books. And he may push on to some extent, even despite everything. And that's his credit. Like a diseased person, he has so many impediments, but still he carries on somehow. But that he's working at a disadvantage, he's in a diseased condition. And to maintain that way, it's difficult. To maintain any service, white book distribution, to cook, to produce books, to do anything, without having the strength that comes from following regular principles, is going to be very difficult. So, anyway, whatever you can do, that's good, but follow the regular principles and be strong.
And check the proof, no?
It's possible, yeah, I'm the proof. I mean, I have material desires, I have problems with regular principles throughout the whole life, but the main thing is it depends. Some are just big, some are rascals, both of it, but this cannot hinder you from doing something good for the people, doing that, helping to the Prabhupada or the other devotees. When we're just looking always on our bad sides, then you could do nothing. So we should also see everyone has good sides, and this should be emphasized. And that's all what it's about.
Thank you very much. Thank you for being such a determined devotee who just pulls on and making his life on the positive, very spiritual desire which is there. Is this interesting for you?
Yeah.
It has some exchange, and I think the questions are very nicely and formulated and very relevant. So
I think that they're all fantastic questions.
The
basket is full of fantastic questions.
It's a magic basket, yes. The GBC in Mayapur has discussed about the importance of cultivating different things in ISKCON. As far as I remember, Sankirtan was on the fourth place. What is before? That they want to cultivate very strongly. Let us see who is competent to speak on GBC matters. Is there a GBC man? It's Preda Prabhu. Or you are a GBC? What was it?
I was just
speaking.
I should have been much into that because I'm not fully aware what the resolutions are.
Okay. Maharaj, Preta Prabhu says he does not really know all the resolutions. Devamita Maharaj, would you like to answer this question? The GBC in Mayapur has discussed about the importance of cultivating different things in ISKCON. As far as I remember, Sankirtan was on the fourth place. What is before that they want to cultivate so strongly? Do you know anything about this?
Yes.
So this is a very interesting question. We will now give the forum to Devamrita Maharaj.
Briefly speaking, there was a professional agenda setter and person who tries to get people to focus on what's really important to them. He's also very favorably inclined to Krishna consciousness, and he donated his time to get the leaders to put up a list of objectives, what was most important to strive for in Krishna consciousness. So, yes, book distribution wasn't as high on the list as I would like it. I have to be honest. While I'm here at Nukalokadama, many devotees are telling me, Maharaj, you better, you know, we want to hear it straight, you know. don't try to dodge. We want to know what's going on. And so, do you rest enough? Are you just traveling every day? What kind of Swami are you? I'm going to give you some straight answers. Yes, I wish it had appeared higher on the list. I myself am chairman of the outreach committee, which was a result of that brainstorming session. And those of us who are on the outreach committee, there's different committees that came out of that discussion. Outreach, finance, global vision. So I'm the chairman of the outreach program, and I know that those who are on that committee are determined that book distribution maintains its proper status in Prabhupada's movement. So that's all I'll say.
Thank you very much. And whatever it is, we are convinced that book distribution is right, and we will do it. But here comes a philosophical question, as far as I can see in one glance. How can I distinguish? This is, I believe, something very for Manidhara Prabhu. How can I distinguish if I'm acting with compassion or if I'm only serving my false ego? Is the question clear? How can I distinguish if I do something out of compassion or if I think, now I'm the most compassionate person on the planet, do something out of ego?
Well, that shouldn't be a big problem on Sankirtan, because it's a you know, the Sankirtan will bring about the real motivation of the devotee one way or another. So one can judge the state in the Vedas by the result. And the result is, if one is motivating oneself by one's own desire, and by desire for prestige or for whatever, or for domination of the others, one will guarantee end up being frustrated. And if one is brought to the point of the real compassion, that kind of endeavor cannot be broken. It's impossible. It's impossible to frustrate Sankirtan devotee who is really compassionate, because he will cross that point of frustration and keep on going regardless of the result. The first motivation is motivated by result, ultimately. And when the result is not there, then comes the breaking point. But when there is no result, the compassion prevails.
Thank you very much, Manidhara Prabhu. Here comes another question. Oh, it's again to Manidhara Prabhu, so I will put it here. By Raghunath Prabhu in Italy. No, to Raghunath Prabhu in Italy. Is he here? He is here. Okay, Raghunath Prabhu, would you please come and sit with us on the panel so that everyone can see you? Yes, come sit there. There is a nice... I hope you will not be... So you have to listen extremely intensely and let the natural excitement which you might feel not cloud your intelligence. So, Raghunath Prabhu, the camera is on you. What is your meditation when you do full set distribution? What style is Germany used in Italy? No, what here. This is not clear, but we will. What style is there in Italy? Only offices, door to door, or also streets and parking lots? Do you give also full sense in the streets? Do you have Sankirtan vans? So, how do you do full set distribution, I guess, is the question. And also, what is your meditation, Raghunath Prabhu?
Okay, so, yeah, usually, devotees, male devotees, don't do packing lot, but mostly Matajis do that kind of sangha. Especially in the autogrill, in the highway, they do very big, because most of the driver are men and they can do very, very good.
This means most probably parking rest places on the highway, resting places.
Yes, resting places also. I don't know how you call autogrill where the service areas.
Service areas. And gas filling stations.
Yes, gas filling stations.
These type of things, yes.
Yeah, yeah.
We say Raststätte, yes. Mm-hmm. Thank you. So this is what the Matajis do.
Yeah.
And then?
It's very difficult for main devotees in Italy to do the street, because we have many sellers, many from Morocco, from North Africa, and especially in North Italy, in the big towns like Milan, people don't stop to anybody who asks something. There are men who wash the glasses of the cars. There are many who sell everything like this. A band aid like this.
Yeah. So you set your ages, yes. So what do the men do?
So men devotee mostly do door to door, offices to offices, in the industrial zone. So, and we can do very big in, because North Italy, especially in Lombardia, is the zone around Milan, is a very rich and industrialized zone. One of the most industrialized in Europe, and we can find very rich people, but most of Italian people are not interested in read anything. I think Italian people are the less reading people of Europe. They read also few newspapers, very very few newspapers. So we push on for give out a lot of sets. We push on donation. When we find very rich people, we ask a donation, and of course we don't take the money, only the money, because Krishna is not happy. We have to give out the book, so we give the book, and they are very happy after, because they feel they are not cheated by us, because they received a very very good gift, and we speak also about the book. About the books we give them, because try to make them to read the book. Of course, this is mostly how the set go out. But it's very pleasant thing when we find interested people in the books. So when we personally, when I give a full set or Srimad Bhagavatam or Chaitanya Charitamrita set, is very wonderful. Yes, it's a very satisfying thing to give these books to these people, because I'm interested. Mm-hmm. So my meditation personally, I pray to Krishna to always send me interested people, to send me devotees, to send me a very, very interested, a good person. This is my principal meditation. Usually we do with devotees, with devotional flows, and you know that people divided in two, no? Demons. When people see the devotional flows divided in two kind of devotees and demons. So it's like put the rennet in the mink,
yes,
and divided in curd and of course liquid.
Yes, here is Peter Prabhu once
died. Dhanaraja Prabhu, he used to go to factory owners and convince them to buy a whole truck of books from him to be distributed among his factory employees. Yeah, yeah. And he used to distribute books by the truckload or by the van load. Is this still happening?
No. Yeah, it was a particular kind of Sangha that also Russian devotee did this kind of Sangha, but we saw that it's not so useful because many books are left there and we don't do like this anymore.
More quality.
Yes, more quality in Sangha.
Hare Krishna, thank you very much, Raghunath Prabhu. Knowing a little bit about the punctuality of the prasadam, I have to now look at the...
We can still go on for 10 minutes.
We can still go on for 10 to 50 minutes. Please open the window very much, and I want to now direct a question to our religious volcano, Prithu Prabhu. Because he has not really yet... He will soon come up. Don't worry. So here, I do not know what the question will be, but I hope it is something for you. Oh, here's a question for Vijay Prabhu. So this I will also ask after. But here's the last question. I still remember from the early or mid-90s the time as we had the book distributor seminars and nobody was allowed to go out anymore without having attended them. So everyone had to go on a book distributor seminar before being allowed to go out. It was said that we cannot let devotees go out on book distribution who are not qualified to properly talk in a certain manner. Since that time, I never went out again, since I felt very unqualified, distributing only only 8 or 10 books in half a day. Is it now different again? There are two points really in the question which we want to address the Prithu Prabhu. One is about training. Is training absolutely necessary in order to go out on the street? And the second question is a question which is very often asked to me. I only distribute 8 or 10 books in a half a day. Is it worthwhile? Do you want to read it again? So listen very carefully. Prithu Prabhu will address us on the subject matter of training as a requisite, as a necessity before we go out, and on this other question, what about when one does 8 or 10 books, half a day? That's actually full Sankirtan day when one goes about half a day, 5 hours.
So. To the first question. We have done a lot of book distribution over the years, all over the world, and one would wish that the result of it in terms of people taking actually up Krishna consciousness or coming towards the movement as supporters would be greater than it is. And I feel that it is not so, it is not as it should be, is very much so due to the result that we had a lot of devotees on the street saying a lot of sometimes kooky or strange things or untrue things, which doesn't help our movement. It brings our movement into disrepute. So I think it is absolutely necessary that we have very well trained devotees on the street, that we supervise exactly what can be said and what cannot be said. There's a fine line between truth and untruth, and that we have a very good presentation, because that's the impression people get. They meet Hare Krishna means a person we meet on the street. We shouldn't send out people on the street who don't know what they're doing, or who are, you know, vile in their behavior, or who are crooked, or who are kind of cheeky, kind of trying to run circles around it, or who are rough. Like, I mean, I can remember some of our devotees in the past. I won't name any names, Tachinam, not to worry. But I mean, we had some wild crowd on the street in Germany. It was something like best described in the song, 40 men in a drunken ship and a bottle of rum. It was tough. We had an enormous amount of weird people on the street who would distribute a lot of books, but it didn't help us. It doesn't help our reputation. You may have an immediate gain, but in the long run, it really cuts you. It really cuts our reputation. So I would really think that all our devotees who go out, they should be very well trained, they should be gentle, they should learn from Vijaya. We have so many good book distributors, what to say, what not to say, to be honest, to be straightforward, to don't lie to people. To, if somebody says, well, I don't want the book, you're supposed to take it back. If somebody holds on to the book and doesn't want to give it back, not to get into a fight about it, we should have first-class people on the street, clean people, were clean looking, clean clothes, preferable dhoti. Many of our devotees don't wear dhotis, I notice, and that's fine, but we find that practically all our book distribution is done in dhotis and kurtas and shaved head and tila, and they're distributing just as much. They may not be possible in all places, and some devotees may not be comfortable with it, so that's okay. There may be individual ideas how to do it. But actually, if you present ourselves as straight Hare Krishnas, particularly in the modern climate, as we can see from these movies, then I think we are better off and we should work on that. We should have a quality presentation, and quality presentation means good training. We shouldn't allow any kind of weird things on the street, or ripping people off, or being very passionate. Or we should go for quality distribution rather distribution at the expense of quality. I think we wouldn't like to do that. Distribution at the expense of quality.
Thank you very much.
Yeah, please.
Yes.
Sure.
Please, Vijaya Prabhu will say something. As far as, you know, not feeling comfortable going out and not doing many books, 8 books in a half day. You know, Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur, he was so happy if someone just went out and did one pamphlet. And there was one lady in Uruguay. She was from Argentina. She was distributing books in Uruguay, which is right next door to Argentina. And it was very difficult. She was having a very difficult time. She sold one small book after trying for like a couple hours. And then she tried again, and it was so